So today we're going to talk about Medi-Cal, the basics, and there's a lot to talk about. Lots of information today, I think some of the main points I'll reiterate throughout the presentation. In order to understand Medi-Cal, I think it's important to understand some of the background information, like who the players are with regard to Medi-Cal. We're also going to talk about the fact that Medi-Cal is not just one program in California. It's many, many programs, many Medi-Cal programs. And each Medi-Cal program has its own criteria for eligibility. There are some Medi-Cal programs that require that you be disabled in order to get that Medi-Cal. And we'll be focusing on those programs a little bit in this presentation, but we're also going to give you a link where you can read more on these different Medi-Cal programs where disability is a requirement to get the Medi-Cal. We're going to talk briefly about Medi-Cal services. What happens when you have Medi-Cal and other insurance? How does it all work? Where to apply for Medi-Cal? We're going to talk about an online system called Benefits Cal, where you can get on and look up your case information for Medi-Cal and other public benefit programs that are run by the county, where you could submit information a lot easier now. And I'm going to briefly speak about some of the updates, Medi-Cal updates that are happening through this program called CalAIM, but you'll get a lot of links to that if you're interested in some of those changes that have happened and will happen in the future. So I want to talk about terms and agencies involved in the Medi-Cal program. So Medicaid is the term that is used by the federal government for the program we have in California called Medi-Cal. It is a public health insurance program. And so other states call their Medicaid program something else. We call it Medi-Cal. The Centers for Medicaid and Medicare, we call them Medicare and Medicaid, we call them CMS. It's the federal agency that administers these two programs in the whole nation. And so we call it CMS. And you might, we'll be referencing CMS every now and then. Now, every state that accepts Medicaid, because the states can decide they don't want to participate in the Medicaid program, but Medicaid means that the federal government is paying some of the cost of the healthcare. So why wouldn't they, right? So to get Medicaid in your state, the state has to designate one agency that will administer and oversee the Medicaid program in the state. Here in California, it's the Department of Healthcare Services. Now, the Department of Healthcare Services can delegate to other agencies their some responsibilities. So, for example, IHSS, In-Home Supported Services, is a service, a Medi-Cal service. But California Department of Social Services, CDSS, administers the IHSS program. And they have a contract with DHCS to do that. Okay, what is the state plan? So when the state of California decided that it was going to participate in the Medicaid program, it sent a document to CMS, the state plan, saying, hey, this is how we're going to operate the Medicaid program in California. It's going to be called Medi-Cal. These are the people who will be eligible. These are the services that we're going to provide. This is how we're going to administer the program, et cetera. And so CMS had to approve that state plan, which it did. And therefore, we suddenly had the Medi-Cal, because California called it Medi-Cal program in the state of California. That means that the federal finance, we're getting money from the federal government to help pay for healthcare services. That's called federal financial participation. And when we get money from the federal government, we are required to follow federal rules, regulations, and guidelines with regard to the Medicaid program. If you're interested in seeing California's current state plan, there's a link in the presentation so that you can do that. Now, we've got Medi-Cal in California, where the federal government is helping us to pay for our healthcare services. But we also have other Medi-Cal programs where the federal government is not helping to pay. And those are called state-only Medi-Cal programs, typically because the state doesn't want to follow the federal laws, regulations, and guidelines. It wants to create its own Medi-Cal program, maybe to cover more people or provide something different. And so it's called state-only Medi-Cal programs. So our Medi-Cal programs in California are made up of federal financial participation programs and programs where the state and the other ways, programs where the state pays no federal financial participation. I want to talk about how Medi-Cal is delivered. In other words, if you have Medi-Cal, could you go to any doctor in the state of California to get your services, your Medi-Cal services, or do you have to go to a managed care plan? So if you are allowed to go to any doctor in the state of California, it's called fee-for-service Medi-Cal. So if I have fee-for-service Medi-Cal, I can find a doctor anywhere who takes Medi-Cal and I can go to that doctor. Most people in California, over 80% of Californians with Medi-Cal are in a Medi-Cal managed care plan, meaning it's like a HMO. You have to be part of a network. So for example, I know that in, I think Riverside, we have IEHP is one of the Medi-Cal managed care plans. IEHP has different network of providers. I can choose a network provider from IEHP insurance, and I have to go to a primary care doctor to get my primary care. If I want to go to a specialist, I usually have to go through my primary care doctor to get the okay. As time has gone by, I've been doing this for over 20 years. More and more people are being forced into managed care. And there are different models in California of managed care, depending on what county you live in. Some counties have plans where you can choose from two Medi-Cal managed care plans. In Orange County, for example, you have one managed care plan. It's called the County Operated Health System. You only have one choice of Medi-Cal managed care, and that's CalOptima. Now, CalOptima may have network of providers. So for example, this was interesting to me. So I had a client who said, oh, I've got Kaiser. And I said, well, how can you have Kaiser if you're in Orange County? You should be in CalOptima. Well, turns out that Kaiser is one of those network providers under the umbrella of CalOptima. But it's still CalOptima, the single managed care plan in Orange County. But you can have a network provider like Kaiser, perhaps. How many plans, what kinds of plans, Medi-Cal managed care plans you can have depends on what county you live in. I want to talk about services. So there's the term called full scope Medi-Cal versus restricted Medi-Cal. Full scope Medi-Cal means that you have Medi-Cal, you can ask for all of the services that are available under the Medi-Cal program. That doesn't mean you're going to get them, because there's criteria for things. But you have the ability to ask for everything under the Medi-Cal program. When it's restricted, it's usually restricted because of immigration status. And those kinds of Medi-Cal programs that are restricted are usually for an event. So for example, if I have an accident and I'm taken to the hospital and I don't have Medi-Cal, I may be, despite my immigration status, I may be able to get emergency Medi-Cal, which will cover the emergency of the hospital, right? And also pregnancy-related care and long-term care. Now, not too long ago, the law changed as far as immigration status is and your ability to apply for Medi-Cal. So currently, if you're under the age of 26 or you're 50 or older, your immigration status for purposes of applying for Medi-Cal doesn't matter. Medi-Cal doesn't care anymore what your immigration status is. But remember, every Medi-Cal program has other criteria that you have to meet. So even if you fall within these age ranges and your immigration status doesn't matter, you still have to comply with the Medi-Cal eligibility rules for whatever program, Medi-Cal program they're looking, the county's looking at to get you in, right? But you don't have to worry anymore about your immigration status. But for those who are between the age of 26 and 49, there are other, you know, immigration statuses that might be where you might be able to get Medi-Cal, including persons residing under color of law. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I guess the moral of the story here is that, you know, if you're concerned about applying for Medi-Cal because of your immigration status and you're between the ages of 26 and 49, you know, you should consult with us or some other organization so that we can help you identify whether you would qualify for Medi-Cal under other programs, or if your immigration status would even allow you to apply. So as far as services that Medi-Cal provides, I'm going to stop sharing so that we can put up that link that you saw there gives a nice outline of the services that are available under Medi-Cal. So this is from the Department of Healthcare Services, and it gives a list of all of this, you know, a list of services that are available through Medi-Cal. So you have outpatient services, doctor services, hospital, outpatient, chiropractic, podiatry, dialysis, emergency services. It covers hospitalization. It covers maternity and newborn care. Scroll down. Mental health services also. So Medi-Cal does cover mental health services, a lot of it, prescription drugs. You have Medi-Cal also. Once you get Medi-Cal, you get Dental-Cal. So it covers some dental services for children and adults, and all kinds of therapies, physical therapy, speech, occupational therapy, acupuncture, durable medical equipment. So for example, if you need a power wheelchair and if you meet the criteria for getting it, Medi-Cal would cover it. Hearing aids, home health services, where you have someone come to the home and provide a nurse to give you shots, to do something, whatever home health service you need. Sometimes physical therapy to come to the home if you can't go to a provider. Laboratory services, wellness and preventative services, pediatric. We talked vision. You also get vision. Enhanced care management is something that's now available to people who are in managed care, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Community health worker services, transportation services. Medi-Cal will pay for you to take you to your medical appointments, emergency transportation, non-emergency transportation. Sometimes people are surprised because they don't know that Medi-Cal can do that. And yes, that is a service. Thank you, Lonnie. Actually, Medi-Cal, if you were to ask me, Maria, would you choose between a private, your your private insurance plan, the one you have now, or would you choose Medi-Cal? I would say I would choose Medi-Cal because Medi-Cal covers things that my private insurance wouldn't cover. So for example, my private insurance would probably cover up to $2,000 if I needed a power wheelchair. Medi-Cal, if I meet the criteria, would cover the cost of the power wheelchair, which could be thousands and thousands of dollars. You know, Medi-Cal covers nursing home care, but you can also get nursing care at home. And private insurance doesn't cover nursing care at home. So there are a lot of things that Medi-Cal covers that private plans, even Medicare, doesn't cover. So it's always, I think it's the best thing out there. I know that sometimes it's hard to get the service, you know, but there are avenues that you can take to complain and to make, you know, when especially the managed care plan is not doing what it's supposed to do. But anyway, we're going to go back to the presentation. So the what we just saw right now is the first link, and there's a really good publication from a nationwide organization called NHelp, a guide to Medi-Cal services, which is really, really good that you can go to and learn more about Medi-Cal services. Now, when we talk about Medi-Cal services, we have to worry about what is called medical necessity. So let's say I want physical therapy. It's not enough for my doctor to write a prescription for Maria needs physical therapy. That's not enough. I'm not going to get the service from Medi-Cal if that's all my doctor will write. My doctor has to show that the physical therapy, because I'm an adult, is necessary and reasonable to protect my life, to prevent significant illness or disability, or to alleviate severe pain. I have to show that. Now, physical therapy may have other criteria I have to meet, but for anything you request from Medi-Cal and even any health insurance, there are medical necessity criteria. You have to prove that it's medically necessary. And for Medi-Cal, this is the definition of adults, medical necessity. So it's up to your doctor. It would be up to my doctor to say Maria needs physical therapy, and this is why it's necessary to either protect her life, prevent significant illness, or alleviate severe pain. The doctor has to describe why my need for physical therapy is medically necessary. And they know that. They know they need to do this. For kids under the age of 21, there's something called early periodic screening, diagnostic, and treatment. We call it EPSDT. For me, EPSDT just means that kids get extra services that adults don't get and can get more services than adults can get. So for example, if Medi-Cal says that an adult can only get 2 physical therapy sessions a month, that's all they get. But if a child needs physical therapy 3 times a week, and if it's found to be medically necessary, the child will get that. Extra services for kids. And, you know, they're not bound by the adult limitations on services. So the child definition of medical necessity is broader in that you only have to show that what you're asking for is necessary to correct or ameliorate a defect, physical or mental illness or condition. So it's much broader than the adult definition. And there's a really good guide on children under the age of 21 in EPSDT. It's in this link. And so if you have children under the age of 21 who have Medi-Cal, it's really important to understand that your child has extra protections, can get extra things that adults could not get because they're under the age of 21 and they're covered under this umbrella of EPSDT. So I'm going to stop right now, and I'm going to ask if there are any questions about what I've just said. Does anyone need clarification? So now we're going to talk about some Medi-Cal eligibility basics. I've said this before, and this is really important for you to understand that every Medi-Cal program has its own criteria for eligibility. I don't know what all these red things are doing there, sorry, but don't know how to take these red things off the presentation. But in any event, there are some common things in the programs that we deal with for people with disabilities. Income, Medi-Cal will look at income, but it will look at accountable income. It allows you to deduct, or every program allows you to have deductions. Thank you. To your gross income to get to countable income. And countable income is what Medi-Cal will look at to see if you qualify for a particular Medi-Cal program. Resources, countable resources. Not everything you have counts as a resource for Medi-Cal. So for example, the house that you live in and own is not a resource. And here in California, you could be living in a $3 million home at these prices, and it wouldn't count as a resource to disqualify you from Medi-Cal. Of course, Medi-Cal, for those people who are age 26 to 49, they're going to look at your immigration status to see if you qualify for Medi-Cal. And of course, to get Medi-Cal in California, you have to be a California resident. So let's talk about income. What kind of income will Medi-Cal look at? They're going to look at earnings. They're going to look at unearned income. So maybe you're getting unemployment benefits, Social Security disability insurance, state disability insurance. Maybe you're getting dividends from an investment, pensions. You know, maybe you have a private pension. Maybe someone's giving you money every month. That's unearned income, and they're going to look at that. In-kind income, when someone is paying for all of your shelter or all of your food, Medi-Cal says, well, that someone's helping you with all of your shelter and or all of your food, and that is a form of income, and we're going to put a dollar value on that as income that you're receiving. And some things are not income because they're not available, right? So if you don't have access to funds, they're not going to count as income. People who are living with you, Medi-Cal's not going to count that as income. There are a lot of rules with regard to income, and each program has its own rules, but these are general rules. There's some income that's not even counted, public assistance, government programs like housing assistance, CalFresh. So if you're getting food stamps in California, that's through the CalFresh program, that won't count. When we talk about countable income, when we're talking about the SSI, the SSI program, that's the money benefit that you're getting from Social Security, and you get that Medi-Cal that's linked to SSI. You know, the countable income is after deductions. And so for any unearned income, the program will say, oh, you can deduct $20 from your gross income to get you to your countable unearned income. And if you work and you're on SSI, because you can work and get SSI, there are deductions to gross income, $65, and then divide by two. And you can even deduct impairment-related work expenses or blind work expenses. This is money that you're paying out of pocket to work, and expenses that have been approved by Social Security. And you can get a lot more information in the Red Book. So the moral of all of this is that Medi-Cal is never going to look at gross income. There will always be deductions to gross income, and it will depend on what Medi-Cal program you're in. Now, the general rule is that money is income in the month it's received. And if you keep money after that month of receipt, it becomes a resource. So I hear people saying, well, I can't, you know, there's now $5,000 because I didn't use all the money in the checking account. And I'm like, well, you may be over-resourced. because that money generally becomes resource the next month after receipt. Now, there are special situations where you receive lump sum payments, for example, a retroactive IHSS check or a retroactive SSI check, an inheritance. Let's say you win the lottery. Those are lump sum payments. If you're on SSI and you're getting the Medi-Cal that's linked to the SSI, the rules are in the second link. If you're on another Medi-Cal program that's not linked to SSI because you're not getting SSI, and those programs are the programs we deal with, you're going to want it to look at the first link to see how much time you have from the moment you get it that month to pay it, to spend it down so it doesn't become a resource. Because generally, the rule is income in the month of receipt, resource the next month. But there are exceptions that are in these links. So really important to know when you get a lump sum payment. And let's talk about resources. There are programs, the programs that we deal with for persons with disabilities have new resource limits starting last year. It's 130, you get to have $130,000 of countable resources for one person and an additional $65,000 for each family member. And we're going to look at the programs that are affected by this resource limit. The MAGI program, Modified Adjusted Gross Income Medi-Cal program, this is another Medi-Cal program. It came into being with Obamacare. When California decided to participate, it created this program where it doesn't look at resources. It doesn't care what you have, as long as you meet the criteria to get on MAGI Medi-Cal. So that's a program that is available to people with or without disabilities. So I can be a person with a disability, but if I meet the criteria for MAGI Medi-Cal, I can get on the MAGI Medi-Cal and my resources are not counted at all. But if I'm disabled and I don't meet the criteria for MAGI Medi-Cal, I may meet the criteria for all these other Medi-Cal programs that that are affected by the $130,000 countable resource limit. Now you might be asking yourself, well, how do I know what Medi-Cal program I'm on? Well, initially, when you got on Medi-Cal, you got a notice of action, and it said, didn't say congratulations, it never says that, but you are now on this program, and it goes on to say more information. Really, you don't care about what the program, you care, at the moment, you cared about getting on Medi-Cal, right? And you might have received another notice down the line, maybe it said, you're now going to be moved into another Medi-Cal program. So they would need to give you notice about that. But if you don't know what Medi-Cal program you're on, you can call the Medi-Cal eligibility worker, the county office, and ask to speak to a Medi-Cal eligibility worker. Every year you're redetermined for Medi-Cal, that person, you know, you could talk to that person to see what Medi-Cal program you're on and what, if they change you from that program, what program you'll be on. That's another way to do it. I've been told that you can even go to a pharmacy and they can scan your Medi-Cal card and it comes up with an aid code, AID code, aid code. Every Medi-Cal program has an aid code, and there's a list of aid codes that I'm going to show you later. And you can look up what Medi-Cal program you're on based on your aid code. So I'm going to go, and by the way, the $130,000 limit in resources is probably going to go away in 2024. So for the programs I'm going to show you, there's no longer going to be a resource limit. They're not going to care what you have. it's income that's going to matter. So we're going to go ahead to, I'm going to go ahead and stop sharing, and I'm going to show you a list of those Medi-Cal programs where the resource limits have gone up. And then by 2024, there won't be any resource limits for those programs. Your job is to find out what program you're on so that you know whether these new resource limits apply to you. So this is a document called the All County Welfare Director's Letter from the Department of Healthcare Services. Because remember, the Department of Healthcare Services administers the Medi-Cal program. So if we scroll down to the bottom, and you can read this too, but if you scroll down to the bottom, you're going to see a list of Medi-Cal programs where the asset rules have changed. So it's all of these programs on the first column, and you see the aid codes. So for example, if your Medi-Cal eligibility worker says your aid code is D4, congratulations. Now your resource limit is $130,000. And by 2024, if you remain in the in one of these programs, you're not going to have a resource limit anymore. And so you can scroll down a little more to show people. There's even the Disabled Adult Child Program. There's the DD Waiver Program, all these programs. I think there are more programs, the PICL program, there's just so many. And this is a short list of Medi-Cal programs, but, and I'm going to show you the complete aid code list a little later. So, but if for people who are on SSI, beware, you're on SSI, the Medi-Cal linked to the SSI, and that Medi-Cal, SSI still has the old resource limitations, which is $2,000 of countable resources for a person, $3,000 for a couple. And you don't see SSI linked Medi-Cal on this list. So if you're on SSI, you still have to comply with those $2,000 countable income limit or $3,000. Otherwise, you're going to lose your SSI and the Medi-Cal that's linked to the SSI. That's really important to know. Thank you. I know I'm giving you guys a lot of information, but you're going to be able to look at all of this later on. And here's down here is the last link talks about the limitations, but lots of useful information. But it's really important for you to know what your aid code is and compare it to the list that is in the second link. That's the second link right here is the one that we opened up with all of the different Medi-Cal programs that now have these new limits. And by 2024, no resource limits. Okay, so I'm going to just repeat. The link that we just opened is the second link on this PowerPoint, and that's where you're going to find the list of programs that have these new resource limits, and by 2024 will not have any resource limits at all. Resources won't matter. You need to know what your aid code, what Medi-Cal program is, and compare it to the list that's in the second link to know if you're bound by the old rules or the new rules for asset limits or resource limits. Remember, there are things that don't count as resources. So I talked about the place that your house that you live in and you own, one car, no matter the value. If you have another car that you use for work, not to go to work, but to work, that car won't count. And if you have tools for your business, those don't count. Personal effects in your home, or household items don't count. Some personal effects like your wedding ring, clothing, heirlooms. But if you have any other jewelry, it has to be a value of under $100. There are special rules on IRAs and retirement plans. If you have any questions about that, it's best to call us because it could be complicated. life insurance policies, as long as the combined face value is no more than $1,500. There are a lot of other rules. These are just examples. If you acquire any resource or get rid of any resource, you have to report that to Medi-Cal within 10 days. And be careful when you get rid of a resource if it's less than market value, because you may be dinged for that. And talking about resources, I just wanted to bring up the CalABLE program, because if it's in California, it's called CalABLE. There are other ABLE programs in other states, but if you're eligible to open up an ABLE account, you can put money into the ABLE account. And if you're on SSI, you can have up to $100,000, and it won't affect your eligibility for SSI or Medi-Cal. So remember, the SSI program says you, as an individual, you can't have more than $2,000 in countable resources. But if you have an ABLE account, you can put up to $100,000, and it won't affect your eligibility for SSI and obviously your Medi-Cal. So if you're interested in the CalABLE program, there's a link here to that program. You have to be eligible, and there is eligibility criteria for that program. Let's talk about another criteria for eligibility for Medi-Cal. So for those people between the age of 26 and 49, you're going to have to worry about your immigration status. There are people who are qualified immigrants, like lawful permanent residents, refugees, asylees, battered spouses, victims of trafficking. And then there's this category called persons residing under color of law or PRUCAL. And that includes people who have been paroled by immigration court for less than a year. Maybe they're in deferred action status. Maybe they've been granted stay of deportation, that they're not going to be deported, or maybe they've been granted indefinite voluntary departure. Or there's even a category under PRUCAL of people whom the government knows are here, not legal, but the government has no intention of deporting them. So they're... With this, I just want to say, just because you don't have a legal status here, doesn't mean that you don't qualify for Medi-Cal. You might. So, you know, it's a matter of talking to someone who can look at your situation and help you with that. So immigration status is important for those people between the ages of 26 and 49. Now, I have mentioned that there are many, many, many Medi-Cal programs, but because we serve people with disabilities, our focus mainly is on those programs that help our population get Medi-Cal. And I talked about the Modified Adjusted Gross Income program that came about as after Obamacare. And then there's a whole list of non-MAGI Medi-Cal programs that I'm going to show you where you can find that information. Each of these programs can take a whole 2 hours to explain, right? So my job here is to say, look, these are the programs, and this is where you can find more information. And if you want to know more, you can call us, right? But the non-MAGI programs are the Medi-Cal linked SSI program. If you lose your SSI because you're working and you're earning too much money to get SSI, you might qualify for the 1619B Medi-Cal program. There's the PICL Medi-Cal program, the Disabled Adult Child Medi-Cal program. These things can happen after you've become eligible. There's the Aged and Disabled Federal Poverty Level program. There's the Working Disabled program. There's the medically needy program, and that's the program where there may be a share of cost. I think you heard me talk about I mentioned share of cost in one of the slides. So there are people who qualify for Medi-Cal, but for them to get Medi-Cal, for Medi-Cal to kick in every month, they have to spend their share of cost amount on medical, dental, vision things in the month. So let me give you an example. If the county places me on the medically needy program and they say to me, Maria, you have a share of cost of $600 a month, what does it mean to me? It means that I have to spend $600 out of my pocket in medical, dental, vision, maybe pay an IHSS provider, $600 a month before Medi-Cal will kick in. If I do not spend that $600 a month, let's say for June, I don't have Medi-Cal in June. And it goes month to month like that. So there are people who have Medi-Cal with a share of cost. And if they don't spend the share of cost every month, they don't have Medi-Cal that month. Medi-Cal will not cover anything that they get. So, you know, when people have share of cost, I always say to them, call us, because we may be able to find a program where you could move to without, so that you can get out of that medically needy share of cost program. So we're now going to take you to a website called db101.org, where it talks about all of these programs. I just want to show you so that you know where it is, and you'll have an opportunity after this presentation to go and look at it. I can do trainings on individual programs. This is just for a Medi-Cal basics program, it's just too much to go into the details. But DB101 talks about all of these programs. Income-based Medi-Cal is that modified adjusted gross income. So you don't qualify for MAGI Medi-Cal if you have Medicare, but the people who qualify for MAGI Medi-Cal are here in this. If you scroll down a little bit more, there are these four categories of people, three categories. There we go. From 19 to 64 years, if your modified adjusted gross income on your tax return is below 138% of the federal poverty level. And when you see blue, it means you can click on it and it'll open up a link. So federal poverty, and it'll explain what the federal poverty level is. So it defines the word when you see it in blue. So this is the MAGI, and it tells you a lot about what subtractions, what is income that is included in your modified adjusted gross income, what is not. But this is one of those programs that a person with a disability could qualify for. And by the way, remember, this is a program where resources do not matter. Next, we'll scroll down a little more. And then we have these other programs. Remember the SSI linked Medi-Cal, the 1619B, the working disabled, the age blind and disabled medically needy. This is the one with a share of cost, the age blind and disabled federal poverty, and as we pet poverty level program. And then what we do is we scroll down. These are the asset limit changes that we talked about earlier. So if we look at the aged and disabled federal poverty level program, it says that if you have countable income less than $1,677 a month for an individual or $2,268 for a couple, you qualify for this program. And then it tells you what deductions you can make to gross income, including, if we scroll down, and this is one of those programs where your resources are $130,000. If I'm applying for this program and I live with my spouse, I can deduct $600 from my gross income to get to countable income. And so remember, each program has allowable deductions. So you need to know what program you're in to know what deductions you could make from gross income, whether it be unearned income or earned income. Someone's asking, where can I find medical terminology, Medi-Cal terminology? This site will give you the terms where they're in blue. But if you know, you can always Google the term and get to it. Depends on the publication, will depend on whether it defines the, so see maintenance need levels, blind work expenses, it'll give you a glossary, and then you just hit that, and then it'll take you to the information. So, but Googling also is a way to do that. As you scroll down, there are other programs. So, I'm not going to go through them because we don't have the time to do that. And it's way too much information for you guys to absorb at this time, because this is a basics program. At the end of the presentation, there is, I want to show you right now, there is a manual from Western Center Law and Poverty Medi-Cal Eligibility Manual. It's the thing I go to first whenever I have a Medi-Cal question. It is a fantastic manual. It talks about MAGI Medi-Cal. It talks about all these programs for people with disabilities. It talks about income, resources, post-eligibility issues. It's great. Now, notice it was authored in 2016. So the federal poverty levels have changed because we're now in 2023. But in this presentation, I'm giving you a link to the current federal poverty levels. So when you're looking at the manual, you're also going to be looking at the federal poverty levels for 2023. Because the manual from Western Center Law and Poverty has the 2016 federal poverty levels, and it, obviously they've changed. This slide just talks about, there's a list of income and deductions that you can do to your gross income to get to modified adjusted gross income in your tax return. It's part of determining whether you qualify for MAGI Medi-Cal. That manual has a whole chapter on MAGI. So anyway, and then I've given you the federal poverty levels for 2023. There are two Medi-Cal programs, and they're described in db101.org, that website we were in, but there's more information here, where people can lose their Medi-Cal because they've lost their SSI for different reasons. So for DAC, let's say I've been on SSI, and then my parent who paid FICA taxes to Social Security retires and starts getting Social Security, dies and would have been eligible for Social Security, or becomes disabled before his retirement age and starts getting Social Security disability insurance, all of a sudden if I meet the criteria for DAC, I'm now going to be receiving a different benefit from Social Security called Disabled Adult Child Benefits. So what happened, it may cause me to lose my SSI. So if I lose my SSI, what happens? I lose that Medi-Cal that comes with the SSI. But if that happens to me, I may continue my Medi-Cal under what's called DAC Medi-Cal. The PICL Medi-Cal program is for people who are receiving both SSI and Social Security disability insurance. They're getting both benefits. And there's a cost of living increase in my Social Security disability insurance benefit that kicks me out of SSI. I'm no longer eligible for SSI. So what happens? I lose that Medi-Cal that's linked with the SSI. If that happens to me, then I can continue my Medi-Cal under what's called PICL Medi-Cal. So those are, and then 1619B, I'm getting my SSI. I lose my SSI because I now make too much in earnings. How can I keep my Medi-Cal 1619B perhaps? Or maybe the Medi-Cal 250% working disabled program, or maybe another Medi-Cal program that I might qualify for. It depends, right? What my situation is. Now, I've been talking about these aid codes, and I'm going to show you the chart that talks that has the whole, I think it's over 90 pages of aid codes. So I'm not kidding when I say Medi-Cal, so many programs. So we're just going to scroll down to where the aid codes begin. So this is where the aid codes begin. So, you know, if you're in aid code one, you're in a Medi-Cal program for that's called the Refugee Resettlement Program, or maybe you're cash assistance and you're getting the benefit level says full scope Medi-Cal. Remember what full scope is? You can ask for any of the benefits under Medi-Cal. It's not restricted, right? Share of cost? No, you don't get a share of cost program. So, you know, if we scroll down, there's just all kinds of Medi-Cal programs. And we continue. I think the list is how many pages? Like 90 some odd pages of Medi-Cal aid codes. So when someone calls me and tells me they have a question about their Medi-Cal, the first thing I need to know is, well, what program are they on? If they're getting SSI, of course I know they're on the categorically linked Medi-Cal. That's easy. But if they're not on SSI, you know, I need to know what aid code they're on too. And sometimes they're calling us because they're getting a notice of action saying you no longer qualify for the 2HIF 50% working disabled program because of this. And now you don't get any Medi-Cal. Well, that's easy for me too, because I know that they were on the 2HIF 50% working disabled and now they're not. And we need to figure out whether the county is wrong about that, and or if there is another Medi-Cal program that they would qualify for. So really important to know what Medi-Cal program you're on. And that determines the answers to your questions about your Medi-Cal. And so that's the aid code list that you're gonna be able to access through this link here. But remember, you need to know what your aid code is, and that you can get from your Medi-Cal eligibility worker. Apparently, you can get it by swiping at the pharmacy. It'll give you, they can give you your aid code. It's important to know if something, your aid code, if something's happening to your Medi-Cal, right? And you want assistance. So Medi-Cal deeming, we talked about this a little while ago. If you're a minor child and you're applying for Medi-Cal, the income and resources of the parent that you're living with will count as if it were the minors, and it may disqualify the child for Medi-Cal because maybe the parent has too much in income, too much in resources. There's spouse to spouse deeming. If I'm married and I want to apply for Medi-Cal, my spouse's income and resources will count as if it were mine, and it's possible to disqualify me from Medi-Cal. Sponsor deeming. If I was sponsored, if someone signed a document with the federal government saying that they would take care of me, provide for me so that I could become a lawful permanent resident, it's possible that my sponsor's income and resources and the sponsor's spouse's income and resources can count as if they were mine, and it may disqualify me for Medi-Cal. There's an exception in the world of Medi-Cal for deeming, and it applies when someone is on a waiver. So I do a whole training on waivers, 2-hour training on waivers. So what I'm going to try to do is explain what a waiver is in very simple terms for this presentation. A waiver are extra services for people who are on Medi-Cal who qualify for a waiver, and there are different waivers in the state of California. They get extra services for a subpopulation of people. So we have in California, we have the home and community-based alternatives waiver. We have the home and community-based waiver for the people with developmental disabilities. We have the self-determination waiver. We have the AIDS waiver, the multi-senior services program waiver. We have the assisted living waiver. These are all waivers in California, extra services for a subpopulation of people. So let me take the DD waiver. You can only apply for the DD waiver if you're a regional center client and you're getting at least one service, but the waiver has its own criteria for eligibility. So if you meet the criteria for eligibility for the waiver, you're one of those people who are going to get extra services that other people on Medi-Cal will not get, okay? Because they won't, because they're not on the waiver. And these waivers, the DD waiver, the alternatives waiver, the self-determination program waiver, has language. These waivers are documents over 300 pages that are submitted to CMS, the federal agency that administers the Medi-Cal program, and approved by CMS. In the language of the waivers, there's something that says that Medi-Cal eligibility worker, if this person is on the waiver, you are going to pretend that this person who's applying for the waiver is living in an institution. Therefore, there's no deeming. So you're going to pretend that they're living in an institution, institutional deeming. What does it mean? It means that they're going to pretend that the child, for example, is living in a nursing home, and therefore there's no deeming. Because remember, deeming applies when the child is living with the parent, right? When the spouse is living with the spouse. So that's what institutional deeming means. It means that the Medi-Cal eligibility worker, because this person is on this waiver, the Medi-Cal eligibility worker will pretend that the person is living in an institution and there will not be any deeming. If you want to look at all of the waivers that are existing at this time in California, it's the link is there, Department of Healthcare Services website. So you can look at that. So let's talk, we're going to change subjects for a moment, and we're going to talk about Medi-Cal and other health coverage. Yes, you can have private insurance and have Medi-Cal. You can have private insurance, Medicare, Medi-Cal. You can have private insurance. You can have California Children's Services. It's a program that's funded by the state of California for kids with certain physical disabilities, and they get services and supports for the condition that made them eligible for CCS. You can have all of this. Medi-Cal will always be payer of last resort. So your private insurance will be billed first. Then if you have CCS, it'll go to CCS. And if CCS covers it, it'll be covered. If not, then it goes to Medi-Cal. So Medi-Cal will always be payer of last resort. And Medi-Cal, like I said in the beginning of the presentation, will cover a lot of things that these other entities may not. So Medi-Cal, it's good to keep. Changes that are happening to the Medi-Cal program started last year. And will continue through 2027. Why these changes? It's called CalAIM. The changes were because they want to improve services and health outcomes to people who are on Medi-Cal. They want to standardize and make more equitable the services. They want to make sure that people who really need the most help are getting it through outreach. And they're also going to combine, for the first time in Medi-Cal, non-medical services. So for example, respite, personal care, meals, housing. There are these things that are happening, that are going to happen through CalAIM. There are some changes that really don't pertain to you because they're, you know, the service will be covered. It's just who's going to cover it. So for example, in January of this year, all managed care plans have to cover skilled nursing facility care. And in July of this year, intermediate care for and subacute care facility services. Before this, Medi-Cal was still covering it, but it wasn't the responsibility of the managed care plan to cover this. It just, who's covering that now, right? For more people in 2022 were required to move out of fee for service and into managed care. So it used to be in for fee for service, if you were, had private insurance, you didn't have to go into managed care. Well, that changed. And some people who were in managed care are now being allowed to move into fee for service. Here, people who have both dual eligibles, meaning that they have Medicare and Medi-Cal, they were taken out of what was called CalMedi Connect, and they were put into different programs, but it was supposed to be a seamless process. So if you were a CalMedi Connect recipient and you had your Medi-Cal managed care plan managing your Medicare and your Medi-Cal, you were going to have the options of enrolling into different things, but you wouldn't notice the difference because it was supposed to be seamless. There's so much information on CalAIM, and I've provided links to that. And enhanced care management. This link will take you to what is enhanced case management, care management, who can qualify for enhanced care management. It's usually people with complex health needs, and what does it mean? So if you believe that you are eligible for enhanced care management, you should contact your Medi-Cal managed care plan and say, I should be here on this program, and so let's get on it, right? Community supports, also known as in lieu of services, where managed care, they have the option of providing community-based services. They can create programs for housing, food, community transition services. So if you want more information on that, it would be the second link on that. And you might want to call your Medi-Cal managed care plan and say, hey, I just learned about community supports and I think I'm someone who can benefit from this. Are you offering that service? And if so, what is it? Some new dental benefits for people. And there's some more, NHELP created a whole chapter in their services manual on CalAIM. So there's a lot more information there. How to apply for Medi-Cal, different ways to apply for Medi-Cal. There's a link that will take you there. You can call in, you can go to the local welfare office. I do want to go to the Benefits Cal website, which I think, you know how it's so hard to communicate with the Medi-Cal, the county Medi-Cal office. Well, they've made it a lot easier to communicate. It's called Benefits Cal. Through Benefits Cal, if you're on CalFresh, Medi-Cal, County Medical Services Program, you're receiving general relief or cash assistance program for immigrants called CAPI, you can apply for benefits through Benefits Cal, renew your benefits, appoint an authorized representative. You could upload documents to the county. If you need to send documents, you can do it through Benefits Cal. You can report any changes. You can contact your caseworker through Benefits Cal and much more. What you would do is you would just go to Benefits Cal and sign up. And anytime you need to get into your case, you would have a username and a password to get in. If you can scroll down, there were some counties that are still, most counties, Orange County, Benefits Cal was should be up and running by April 24th. So you should be able, because you're in Orange County, I think for the most part, you should be able to get into Benefits Cal and sign up and do all of these things online, rather than mailing things in, rather than calling and asking to speak to your caseworker. All of these things can be done now through the Benefits Cal portal. So you'll have access to that. So what else do we have here? There we go. There's the link to that for more information. And we have resources, the manual, Health Consumer Alliance is an organization that you can contact if you have any questions about Medi-Cal or other programs. Healthcare Options is an entity, if you're not sure public benefits you're on, if you're not sure whether you're in a Medi-Cal managed care plan, or if so, what Medi-Cal managed care plan you're on, or if you want more information on Medi-Cal managed care in your county, you can contact Healthcare Options. They have all that information. If you're having problems with your Medi-Cal managed care plan, you can always contact the Managed Care Office of the Ombudsman. They're there to help you resolve your issues with your Medi-Cal managed care plan. So we have come to the end of the presentation, and we are now opening up the mic to questions, clarifications. So we're going to go ahead